Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
You need to go and see the property with your eyes. You need to make sure that there is a bank in the deal that is believing in the deal and can do those checks much better than you can as a passive investor.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed and I'm here with Stas Grinberg. Stas is joining us from Houston, Texas. He's the co-founder and managing principal of Vision and Beyond, which pursues off-market value-add multifamily transactions. Their current portfolio is around $300 million in assets under management, and they are vertically integrated with property management and construction management in-house. Stas, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what you're currently focused on?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on board. I started investing around 2011 while being an active IDF officer from Israel. And myself and my partner started investing passively in the U.S. real estate market. And we've done so all the way up until 2017. At the end of 2017, we were done with the passive investing journey and we decided to start our own company, and we did it from the ground in Cincinnati, Ohio, from the ground up. We started by driving a car with two binders and a printer and finding off-market deals, single family, and grew up from there to small multifamily, to larger complexes and et cetera. And then we extended the geographical approach and the management systems accordingly. And that's what got us to where we are today with over 100 employees and over $300 million portfolio.
You started in Cincinnati. You're in Houston now. Where is that portfolio currently?
So the portfolio is diversified between Cincinnati, Columbus and Dayton, Ohio, Lexington and Louisville, Kentucky, New Albany, Indiana, in Houston, Texas. So if you look at it from higher perspective, it's two main markets. One is the Texas market, another one is the Midwest market, which all the farthest properties in the Midwest are 2 hours from each other.
What you're saying about the Midwest makes a lot of sense. I'm based in Cincinnati as well, and all of those other markets you just mentioned are within an hour and a half's drive of Cincinnati, which is really literally at the center of all of those. So that makes a lot of sense. Are you primarily a value add investor, investing to a relatively 5-year hold period, looking for a disposition after 5 years?
So historically we were. It's funny to say historically because we're a fairly relatively young company. So far, with over 120 transactions, around 115 of them were massive value-add approach, taking a complex or a property that is underperforming, adding value with an objective of holding it 5 years or longer. Some of the deals we've done were nicer class properties or type A, where we saw that there is a different type of value-add possible, like a financial value-add or pushing rents or occupancy or just the management driving it a little up. Today, looking into approaching deals, in the current market condition, it's very hard to see how can you take a heavy value-add deal. How can you approach it? Because the operational expenses are hurting tremendously the lower class properties, and the ability with low rents to carry those operational expenses seems at the moment as an unresolved question for us.
You all exclusively do multifamily, correct?
Yes. Now we're focusing on 100 units and above multifamily complexes with the objective to have the staff on site to every new property that we bring on board. It's been like that for the last 2 years, and we want to continue with that. Between 100 to 450 units complexes, where it's a little below the heavy institutional competition that they're willing to pay high prices for low returns. And it's above the level where we need to have a portfolio and concentrated management. We want to have property management people on the site running the property day to day.
Stas, how large was your portfolio as you were scaling? So you started with single families and small multifamilies. How big did the portfolio get before you scaled into larger apartments? And then how big was it when you decided to focus exclusively on 100 plus unit properties with on-site management?
We got to 658 units of a clutter site portfolio of smaller type complexes all the way up to 60 units apiece, mostly in Cincinnati. It was one concentrated office that was running and managing those units, which is still in place. And we're still managing this small, diverse portfolio. But then was the time where we decided to approach our first multifamily complex of 116 units. We did it without investors, with only company money to buy this complex and to see how we run this type of property. And then we never wanted to go back and to buy smaller properties again, because as a company that is able to scale better, it's very hard to scale to 10,000 units having 2,500 for units. It's really not practical, and it's hard, and it's hard to keep good service level and good ability to oversee the complexes when you have so many. But currently we are at 3,100 units, and the 3,100 units besides this clutter site portfolio is 13 complexes, which is fairly easy and doable as a company to manage the right way.
Stas, I mean this in a positive way. You have scaled your portfolio fairly conventionally, beginning with single family, small multifamily, the kind of deal that almost any investor can go ahead and take off the MLS, handle themselves, scaling into larger properties. And now you said 3,100 units and focusing on much larger properties. Given that you started with significantly smaller stuff, you said you also started while you were in the Israeli Defense Force, so of course, not local to Cincinnati at the time. How early on Did you bring property management and construction management in-house?
Property management was from the very first property. We were the guys to do everything, A to Z. And at the beginning, it was just me and my partner doing all the roles. We're answering the phones. We're going to meet the potential tenant. We're showing him the apartment. We drive him to the ATM if he needs to withdraw money in order to pay the application fee. We then place him into the apartment. We hear the complaints about the apartment not being ready. We are the ones telling him by tomorrow morning, it's all going to be ready, come back. We are giving him the keys. We were doing everything. And then we started hiring people to do that. And that we did internally all the way until today. We tried to work twice with an external management service, like a third party. And we failed miserably. In our business, it's just a very hard to expect from a third-party management company to do value add for you, because significant value add takes too much effort for someone to do it for someone else. And on the construction side, we did try to work with third-party contractors, and we failed miserably the first 40 renovations. We didn't meet in any of them either the timeline or the price that we intended to pay. Timeline or budget, we failed in either in the first 40 renovations. This is when we started building an in-house crew and then grow it, and then understanding that even today, I use some level of third-party services in the renovation piece, but my true business understanding is that I can do that effectively only if I have in-house the full ability to replace this contractor the next morning. If he knows and I know that tomorrow morning this contractor is trying to not meet the timeline or the budget, I can tell him, thank you, separate and continue the work to the next day. Then I can manage third-party construction crews. But if I don't have the capacity in-house, the leverage he has on me is an unfair business relationship, and it's going to fail.
Stas, I want to call attention to the last thing that you said there. You're willing to work with third-party contractors now only if you are capable of handling those projects in-house if necessary, because of the amount of leverage a contractor has in the contractor-investor relationship. When the investor doesn't have anyone else they can go to replace the contractor. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that was a painful lesson.
Sas, I'm an apartment operator in Cincinnati, Ohio, building a portfolio similar to the way that you're doing it. Property management has always been in-house. I want to say that my luck has been a little bit better with third-party contractors, but it has still driven me to want to build out my own crews and handle as many things in-house as possible, including currently and eventually all of the licensed trades. I want all of those guys in-house as well, not just general rehabbers. I have a couple of rehab crews currently working for me. They're independent, but effectively full-time. I'm working on tradespeople. My management portfolio is just under 200 units. To give you a perspective, largest property is 26 units in that portfolio. As I scale, what should I be keeping in mind when it comes to construction management and property management, keeping those in-house?
Number one, on the construction management, of course, the biggest challenge and the biggest contract you have between you and those people, bringing in professional tradespeople, which is a significant value add to your own ability to grow your portfolio. It is a significant step to bring those trades in-house. And the unwritten contract that you have between you and those guys should always be that you will have limitless amount of work for them. The premise that you have for them is that they will never need to look for clients. They will never need to be handling the business aspect of their business. They should only run and do their professional job, and you will take care of everything else. This is what you need to be worried about. And unfortunately, currently in the market situation, I'm currently in the market condition, the first time that I'm not able to meet this premise because I cannot buy deals that don't make sense to buy. And we finished all the value adds predominantly on all the portfolio that we have. So I actually had to let some of those people go. And this was a very painful decision for me. And it's a painful period because of that. But this is something you need to be worried about. And especially because it also serves your interest because you don't want to be paying them and they would not work. This would be a disaster for you. You need to make sure that bringing construction in-house, that the billing system is working right, that if you're applying work to the right project, that you're able to charge the project, especially if you have different partners on different projects, and you're not ending up paying their salaries and they're renovating stuff that you're unaware of, because it happens. If you have complexes and you have investors and you send a plumber and three other tenants talk to the same plumber and say, I have a leak or I have a problem, and he goes and fixes it and he ends up spending there the whole day and you weren't even aware. So then you end up paying his salary or his materials and the LLC that owns the property gets those fixes for free. And eventually the idea that having those trades in-house will get you less profitable because you're paying for everyone. And this is one of the biggest challenges in that.
A couple of points there, Stas. As soon as I had three crews or I had three or more renovations occurring in different locations at the same time, I went and got a renovations coordinator. Not someone very sophisticated, experienced, but someone who could touch base every day, possibly multiple times with each of my guys, ask how things are going. Are there any issues? Do you need to go to Home Depot? When do you think this project will finish? And then checking in on those things like the plumbing issues that divert their time and figuring out what they actually did all day. I had to get that off of my own plate, but also realize it needed to happen. So I totally resonate with that. Another thing I'm considering as I scale, let me ask it about you though, Stas. Your projects have slowed down because of market conditions, making it difficult to acquire at the same pace that you were acquiring when interest rates were literally half of what they are now. Why not go third party with your contractors and your construction management and do it for others? And let me say about that, that what I'm looking at in going third party myself, again, significantly smaller scale than you're at currently, is that if I know that I can go third party, I know that I can keep those quality people on my payroll, happy, busy, focusing on their craft instead of their business, the way that you said, while also generating some income, but primarily keeping the engine oiled and the ship afloat while I wait for my own next big project. Is that something that you were considering?
Absolutely. It was a big debate internally. And the only reason why not is because I'm not the only one slowing down right now. The whole market slowed down. The whole industry pumped the brakes. The transaction level of January and February was the slowest in the last 21 years. There was never 2 months straight with so little transactions as happened. And currently what I need to really be worried about first and foremost is for my investors that I don't financially collapse in the crisis. And this financial crisis, the both of us cannot predict how long it's going to take. It could be another year. It could be another 2 years. It could get somewhat worse. There are some scenarios that are talking about the need to raise interest rates all the way up to 20%. No one has a crystal ball. No one can predict the future. But we need right now to be as lean as possible as a company to be able to have strong survival ability and to get to the other side of the storm, which not all the companies will be able to get, and then to thrive on the other side of the storm by buying the right kind of deals and unfortunately having to rebuild some of the systems that we have built with so much effort.
We'll get back to the show, but first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. Deciding how to invest your capital is more challenging than ever. That's why it's never been more important to partner with a company with a solid track record and that has thrived through various economic cycles. Companies like BAM Capital. BAM Capital is a trusted multifamily syndicator that has delivered a historical average of over 35% IRR with an average hold period of 3.5 years. BAM Capital has never missed a preferred payment, never lost an LP's investment, and never called capital past the subscription amount. BAM Capital is currently raising capital for a fund designed for accredited investors, targeting a 15 to 20% IRR and a 2 to 2.5x equity multiple to its investors over a 3 to 5 year hold period. If you're an accredited investor and you want to learn more about multifamily investment opportunities with BAM Capital, visit capital.thebamcompanies.com. Again, that's capital.thebamcompanies.com. Are you a real estate investor looking to break into the multifamily investing space? Have you heard of MFINCon happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, June 12th through the 14th? The Multifamily Investor Nation Convention is a place to learn from over 60 high-level apartment investors while networking with more than 700 additional investors. If that's not enough for you, A-Rod, yep, Alex Rodriguez, 12-time Major League Baseball All-Star with over $700 million of commercial real estate assets, will be live and in person speaking at the event. Also speaking is the one and only Dr. Robert Cialdini, the godfather of influence and the award-winning author. I personally love his books. So be sure to secure your tickets to this live in-person event before they're gone. Go to mfincon.com for more details. Sponsorship opportunities are also available. Visit mfincon.com today. Use the promo code BESTEVER to get $200 off your tickets. That's mfincon.com.
Stas, I think you're hitting on something that's going to resonate with the vast majority of our listeners. Two questions here. The first is, we're recording at the very beginning of the second quarter, early April 2023, so hopefully this episode dates well. We're headed into a time of serious economic uncertainty. I'm not even going to say out loud again the interest rate that you just quoted because I don't want to hear it out loud again. But there are wide ranges of possibility, especially without a lot of acquisitions. A lot of us are feeling the need to go lean. Stas, what else are you doing to go lean with your operations right now to make sure you can ride out the storm that could be coming?
Everything from cutting manpower, cutting those professional trades, some of them from the company, reducing salaries of executives, the board members that are advising to the company. I removed their retainers. And they still want to run with the company for the long term. And those are stronger people that can allow it. And they were perfectly okay with it. And they continue advising to the company. And they understand that eventually when we are transactional again, then they will be able to get paid again. But truly, we reduced our expenses to the very minimum to run the portfolio as effectively, as efficiently as we can on everything we have. But understanding on the other side that there is a possibility that we're not going to make any transactions in the next 6 months, I mean, in the next 12 months. This is a reality because even though the company has to be transactional as a real estate company to make money, you don't want to solve your problems by getting into deeper problems and by acquiring new problems. So there's a quote from one of the agents that tried to sell me a deal that was telling me, sometimes you need to drink some poison. And I don't believe so. I don't believe in that. I believe that buying real estate, you only need to do with deals that you truly believe in. And if you're thirsty, drinking poison is not a solution. And you need to wait and not be transactional. And actually, one of the most important advice I can tell in that situation is for other people not to jump on deals that you feel in your gut that are questionable. Because right now, strong investors are saying, okay, I'll just not buy for the next 6 to 12 months. And then under pressure, investors are saying, I'll just go in and try anyway and see what I can do. And what end up happening is that they are losing money on earnest money, they are losing money on inspections, they are losing money on trying to be transactional. they are failing in that. And while they're failing in that, they're losing money faster and they're ruining relationships and they're getting into litigations. It's harder sometimes, but it's the right thing to do to stay put until the market gives us enough certainty to be transactional. Because putting a deal now under contract for 3 months from now, you barely are able to determine if you're getting a good price or not. It doesn't matter what the price is. It could be 40% lower than the deal price 12 months ago, but it still could be a bad price relatively to 3 months from now. And because of that point, you need to only be transactional if you truly are finding a deal that has very little to none downside, but a very high upside opportunity.
Stas, last question before we transition this episode. Going into the rest of 2023, with the levels of uncertainty that you are sharing here, I can't help but think now, I'm, again, significantly smaller portfolio, but also completely vertically integrated. At present, everyone who touches my properties on my behalf may not report directly to me, but is hearing from me on a regular basis. Let's give a sales pitch to our listeners, Stas, or I want you to pitch our listeners on the value of bringing property management and construction management in-house heading into uncertain times. What do you see as the biggest advantages to, well, I might be giving up the goose here, but having the levels of control that investors that like you and I have, while also carrying payroll to get our apartments turned and shown and leased?
I can show the benefits of it from the opposite perspective. When we are now looking for deals, when we know that we will be able to buy some deals for a significant discount, one of the first places I look at are properties that are managed by third parties, because I know that I do my absolute best within my organization with my property management. And we manage all the properties between 90 to 98% occupancy and 90% collection. And doing that, some of my properties are now barely break even, if break even. I know that the operational expenses in the market grew significantly. It's not only the interest rate crisis. Everyone is talking about the interest rate, but this is one piece of the puzzle. There are other pieces. The operational expenses grew significantly. Water expense, electric expense, insurance.
Utilities.
The worst.
Yeah. Insurance.
Insurance is the absolute worst. In Texas, the insurance grew, tripled itself. In Florida, it's sometimes four times higher, and sometimes it's unattainable. People that are coming to renewals, the insurance companies tell them, sorry, we're not going to insure it, no matter what the price is. Because juries in insurance cases were giving ridiculous amounts of compensation to plaintiffs. And what happened is that insurance prices went through the roof. With the catastrophes that happened, with Ian, with Louisiana flooding and everything else, insurance companies are driving prices up because they're not profitable. They're losing money and they have to drive prices up, and it's going to continue growing. So with absolute perfect control and with absolute perfect property management, currently most of the properties are not cash flowing, are barely breaking even. And most of the properties in the country are in technical default situations with lenders. Third-party management will forever do the bare minimum that they can to not get yelled at by the owner, and sometimes to get yelled to an extent, because the difference between managing property management's level six, which is just making enough to keep the ship rolling, and making a property management by absolute top performance, 9, 10 KPIs, stronger people, hiring better people, not using temp services. Those things will only happen by the true ownership. It doesn't mind to pay a little bit extra for getting and truly lead the people, because he has all the incentives to do that. third-party management companies don't have those incentives. That's not their objective. Definitely not the small ones that don't always even know how to do it. And the big ones are preferring to grow their business by buying other property management companies and growing the number of units they manage. It helps them significantly more than trying to do perfect results for the ownership by spending so much more on manpower. So they will try to not do it. They will try to cut corners. It pays off for them to cut corners. And people don't have a choice anyway, because those are investors. There is a lot of investors from New Jersey, from New York, that are having complexes all over the country, and they're not going to go and manage them by themselves. They're not going to build an operation for that. So the third party can simply do barely enough. And it's a significant, significant difference. So that's my perspective on it. And definitely one of the areas I'm looking for the first deals to show up because of significant losses of the ownership, and the ownership gets beat up and tired, and the ego of trying to sell properties for last year's prices will not be in place, are properties that are managed by third parties.
That makes a lot of sense. Stas, are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
100%.
What is the best ever book you recently read?
The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand.
What is your best ever way to give back?
I have, together with my partner, we established a company, Commanders Club Foundation, that is accepting retired company commanders from the Israeli army. Those are people that fought for the country for 8, 9, 10 years, and they are being released from the army at the age of 28. They're behind all their younger peers by education and by professional experience for the business world. But on the other side, they have proven leadership skills. They have the ability to make decisions. They have solution-seeking mindset. So we are taking those guys and we are creating an environment for them where they can learn, they can move up quickly in the society, and what they are helping each other, and we're helping them to start their business or to get into companies and grow into management routes, or to go into the education and educate the next generations in Israel to be good leaders. So this is what we're doing. We have over 900 retired company commanders in this club that we're supporting.
Nice. Stas, thus far in your real estate investing, what is the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson that resulted from it?
I think we'll continue with this line of conversation, because the biggest is a hard competition. It's hard to measure. I've made a lot of huge mistakes. So we'll continue with the one that is hiring third-party management for my properties. I tried to do it twice. Once in Cincinnati, once in Houston, as we transitioned here, because I thought, even though I knew it's a mistake, I will hire a third party. I will this way settle into the new market. Meanwhile, I'm building my own operation strong enough to take over. And I just needed to take over right away and not wait until the end of the year, because within 3 months they were able to provide me such poor results, such an inability to see the clear picture, such lack of control over the numbers, such lack of control over the tenants. I couldn't tell in either of my properties which are the vacant units, who is paying, who is not paying, what is the process and procedure that is happening with tenants that are not paying. There's so many steps in property management that you can mess up just by doing your job poorly. And third-party property management didn't get to a place where they know that they have the people that are coming to the property every day. They had used temp services and other temporary patches and replacements that not the tenant could have leadership. Property management is leadership. It's leadership of the community and of the complex. And the tenants crave it and they deserve it. And then if the tenants don't get it, then you also cannot expect to get the good results from your investment initiative, because it's not going to happen. You need the people to be happy and to be cooperative and to pay their rent and to do what it takes, and also to be able to enforce certain things when people are not paying rent, to take over and to take control over the situation. And neither of that could happen if you don't have full control, and you will not have full control with third-party management.
On that note, Sas, what is your best ever advice?
To who specifically? To someone who's building a company or to an investor?
To an investor.
I would say number one advice is there's no such thing as passive investor. There's a myth of passively investing. Everyone has responsibility to truly learn. You don't need to quit your job. You don't need to do it full time. It's okay to invest and let a developer manage your capital, or an investment firm or an investment fund to manage your capital. But you need to understand what's happening. You need to understand what's going on. You need to understand that you're putting your trust and your money in the right of the right people. And you need to go and see the property with your eyes. You need to make sure that there is a bank in the deal that is believing in the deal and can do those checks much better than you can as a passive investor. So you need to do your homework and take responsibility over your money, because as an investor, not losing is significantly more important than making profits.
Last question, where can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch on my LinkedIn at Stas Grinberg. It's my name. Or on the website, vnbinvest.com. I'm approachable through both.
Those links are in the show notes. Stas, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you've gained value from this episode, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you, and have a best ever day.
Thank you, Slocum, for having me.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.